So thirdly, going forth in respect of one's mind. In a sense, this is the primary going forth. It's what gives life to one's going forth in respect of one's body and in respect of one's speech. And it has, obviously, many aspects, and there's much that could be said about it. But this evening, I'm going to confine myself to two aspects only. First of all, there is going forth from the karma loka to the rupa loka. The karma loka is the world of the physical senses and the mind that is concerned with sense experience. It's what is generally known as the material world. It's in this world that we live most of the time through our physical bodies. It's with the things of this world that we are usually most concerned, that is to say, food, drink, clothing, sex, shelter, and so on. The rupa loka is the world of form, that is to say, the world of archetypal form, or more simply, the world of archetypes. Not just Jung's archetypes of the collective unconscious, but also what we may call the archetypes of the supra-collective, super-consciousness. We have access to the rupa loka through dreams, through great works of art, literature, and music, through images, myths, and symbols. And the greatest works of art, the greatest works of literature and of music, are those that speak to us of this world, of this realm, most directly and most profoundly. We experience the rupa loka by means of what Buddhism calls the divine eye, the divya chakshu, together with the divine ear, the divya shrota. In other words, we experience that higher world, the rupa loka, by means of the imagination. Not imagination in the popular sense, but rather in the sense in which Coleridge uses the term. And perhaps it's useful to speak, as some have done, as some of us recently have started doing, of the imaginal faculty, distinguishing between imagination in the ordinary sense and the imaginal faculty, in the sense of this faculty that gives us access to the rupa loka, this higher archetypal realm. This helps to avoid confusion. It's by means of the imaginal faculty, as we may call it, that we experience the imaginal world, the world of devas and brahmas, the world of angels and archangels, the world of light, colour, sound, a world that, at its highest levels, reflects the transcendental. So we should go forth to this world. We should live more in this world. Go forth to it in dreams and visions. Go forth to it through the fine arts, music and poetry, in their finest and highest expressions. And above all, go forth to it in meditation. The rupa loka is the world of beauty. In Sanskrit, rupa can also mean just beauty. It's the world of pure beauty, and there's no doubt that we need beauty in our lives. Beauty nourishes us, so to speak. It inspires us. Without beauty, we tend to dry up, even to perish. So, let us go forth from the karma loka to the rupa loka. Let us dwell there as much as we can. Second, the second aspect of going forth in respect of one's mind, there is a going forth from manas to arya jnana. Intellectually, manas is the rational mind. Emotionally, it is the ego consciousness. It operates within the dualistic framework of subject and object, self and others. More often than not, is concerned with what we experience through the five physical senses and the lower mind. That is to say, the mind that is concerned with sense experience. Manas is also the faculty of abstract thought. It is capable of generalizing from the perceptions of the five senses and the lower mind. It is capable of drawing conclusions from them. In a sense, manas is the scientific mind, though the greatest scientists, it has to be remembered, seem to possess, in addition, a degree of imagination. Reason, as such, is not to be despised. Manas is not to be despised. But from an evolutionary point of view, it has taken humanity a long time to develop it, but it does not represent the last word in human development. Beyond manas, there is Arya-jnana. Arya-jnana means noble knowledge. It is noble in the sense that it is transcendental. Being transcendental, it is non-dual. It is knowledge without a subject and without an object. It is knowledge in which there is nothing to know and nobody to know it. At the same time, it is not a state of unconsciousness like deep sleep. It is pure, blissful, radiant, non-dual awareness. Being non-dual, it cannot really be an object of knowledge. That is to say, cannot be an object of knowledge for manas. But for practical purposes, we think of it as such an object. We think of it as something to which we go forth. To which we go forth from manas. Obviously, this is not easy. It's hardly possible for us to start out immediately without preparation. But we can make a good beginning. We can make a beginning by becoming more aware of the extent to which we are dominated by manas. The extent to which we are dominated by the rational mind. Dominated by our ego consciousness. Indeed, dominated is too weak a word. We are usually much more identified with manas, identified with our ego consciousness. So we have to become more aware of this. We have to stand back from ourselves. Then perhaps we can start slowly turning round and facing in the direction of the Arya-jnana, even start moving towards it. And when that happens, we shall have begun to go forth from manas to Arya-jnana. We will have started transforming our effective going for refuge into real going for refuge. So much then for my reflections on going forth. So much for some of the different aspects of going forth. There is a going forth in respect of one's body, a going forth in respect of one's speech, a going forth in respect of one's mind. We go forth in respect of the body when we go to live in another country, especially when we do so for the sake of the Dharma, when we live more simply, reducing our bodily needs, when we meditate, in the sense of experiencing the jhanas. We go forth in respect of speech. We do this when we go forth from our own language by learning a new language, when we observe silence, and when we sing as members of a choir, a dharma choir. And finally, we go forth in respect of the mind, and we go forth in this way, when we go forth from the karma loka to the rupa loka, and from manas to Arya-jnana. And going forth in these ways, we move from the un-Arya Paryasana to the Arya Paryasana, from the ignoble quest to the noble quest, from Karma Chanda to Dhamma Chanda, from the round of mundane existence to the spiral of spiritual development. In other words, we follow in the footsteps of the Buddha, and one day it is to be hoped we shall arrive where the Buddha arrived, at the foot of the Bodhi tree.